Take your Bibles, please, and let's turn to the book of James tonight. And I'm going to touch upon something that, as I was reading through this book, I was again encouraged and reminded of what God has done for us through His Word in dealing with things that happen in this world. We understand and know that in this world there's all kinds of things that we have to deal with. There are the pressures of work. There are the pressures of family. There are the dealings with people. It's easy to allow ourselves in those situations to get our minds off and focus on the people and focus on the problem instead of focusing on the end of the problem, and that's Christ. You know, that we allow that to take over instead of turning it over to the Lord. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall not suffer the righteous to be moved. Interesting podcast that I heard recently. This has been a few weeks ago. George Barna, who has the Barna Group out of California, they were talking about and dealing with some of the issues facing the church today, and I was surprised at what he had to say. He said one of the big things that the church that we have found in our studies is the problem of jealousy. And, of course, this is not a new problem. And it's not just a problem that happens in the world. It happens in the church. I shared with you this morning about the jealousy that the chief priests had of Jesus, because the crowds were following Him. The crowds wanted to see Lazarus, who was raised from the dead. So they sought to kill Jesus and Lazarus in order to get the people to focus back on them. It turned from jealousy to envy and hate and murder. That's how powerful the emotion of jealousy is. But we find in the book of James that this is a problem that the church there faced. And we know that he speaks to believers in chapter 4 because the context of the book is, brethren, look at chapter 1 for just a moment. The second verse, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Chapter 2, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Chapter 3, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. We find this statement of my brethren over and over again. He's talking to believers in Christ. And then he comes to chapter 4. And we read in verse 1, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Wait a minute. Talking about the church? Yeah. Talking about people dealing with each other, the things that arise between us. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts or desires that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. And then notice this next word. Ye kill, you murder. Now, had they literally murdered each other? Well, the Lord used the same language. If you murder someone in your heart, what did Jesus say? You've done it. If you commit adultery in your heart, you've done it. That's the point that James is making here. You kill, you murder, and desire to have and cannot attain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Verse 3, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Now, notice this next phrase there. The King James translator supplied ye adulterers and adulteresses, but in the Greek it's just adulteresses. That's what's in the original. There's only one word there. Adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore shall be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Now what is he asking there? There's a possibility it's talking about the human spirit, but there's also the possibility? Do you absolutely think that the Holy Spirit is leading you to lust in your hearts, to envy? Is that what the Holy Spirit does? Well, what's the answer? No. That's the flesh within us. Verse 6, notice this. But He giveth more grace. I'm going to be dealing with this matter of jealousy here, but I want you to know and understand something. Jealousy within the body of Christ is a grace deficiency. Have you ever had a vitamin deficiency? Yeah, we've all battled that. I battle magnesium and potassium deficiencies. I have to take supplements all the time because the medication that I'm on strips my body of those two vitamins. And so I have to take those in as supplements to keep those up because I have a vitamin deficiency. Here we find that James brings something to the front here. He says, but, conjunction of contrast, He giveth more grace. Now, what did he just say in the previous statement? Does the Spirit, and we're going to, I believe it's referring to the Holy Spirit, does the Holy Spirit that dwelleth in us cause us to lust, to envy? No, what does He do? He ministers grace. He ministers grace, more grace. Wherefore, He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and He shall lift you up. Speak not evil of another. Brethren, there's that word. Talking to believers. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? And that is that word that Pastor Watt brought out in our study of 1 Corinthians about that anacrino. It's the idea of giving the final judgment. That's not our role, is it? That's not our job. That's God's job. He's in charge of that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank You so much for Your goodness to us. And Lord, I pray that You would work in our hearts in a very powerful way, that You would indeed minister grace to our souls. So many times, Father, the way we act with others is because we lack the grace that You desire to give. It's the grace is abundant. We have to take it. And we have to bring it into our lives willingly. I'm so thankful, dear Father, that there's a source, there's an answer to the problem. But Lord, I pray that You would help us to understand that sometimes these things are a result of fleshly attitudes and a deficiency of Your grace. May You minister Your word to our hearts tonight, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of the things that were mentioned in that podcast by George Barna, and I wrote some of these things down, talking about jealousy within the local church, dealing with those kind of issues and the feuding that happens a lot of times among members of the church and among people that are supposed to be brothers and sisters in Christ. He said, jealousy oftentimes of ministry gifts or opportunities. Some people are gifted more than others. I think we can all raise our hands and say, yeah, that's right. But for some, it becomes a matter of jealousy. God, why didn't You give it to me? That creates conflict, feuding. Jealousy of recognition of others or praise of others becomes problematic for some. Well, how come I don't get praised? How come someone's not praising me? And we allow that to fester in our hearts. And what is that indicating? Well, it's indicating a grace deficiency. And we need to have that strengthened in our hearts and lives. The giver has provided the grace. Amen? The channel is Jesus Christ Himself. The problem is we are focusing on the flesh and not focusing on how God has delivered us from the flesh. He has provided the way to be delivered, and that's His grace. Let's look at another one. Jealousy of financial blessings upon others while others struggle. That becomes a major problem for some people. Jealousy of relationships. A member might envy another's close friendships or strong family ties, and they don't have those, and therefore they have this inadequacy feeling, and they take it out on others, this jealousy. A jealousy of social status or popularity, and they don't have that, and so it becomes a source of division and strife, criticism and gossip, self-centeredness and pride, and suppression of none other than the grace of God. Suppressing the grace of God instead of accepting the grace of God. Now, there's something that we need to all realize. Every one of us are different. Amen? Every one of us. Now, understand something. Some people are gifted more than others. Do we recognize that? Do I hear an amen? Some people are gifted more. Now, there's been many times that I said, Lord, wouldn't it have been nice if you could have steered some more of that talent and ability my way? You know, it's an amazing thing to hear people that are gifted with beautiful voices, or they're gifted with administration abilities, or they're gifted and their mind is just so expansive and they're able to do things that you can't do. But you know what? God created me the way He created me. And I've got to say, Lord, I just need more grace to be able to get through what I've got to get through. There are times when I'm overwhelmed with complaints, especially during ball season, all right? And sometimes I'll mention a few of those. I try to be careful about that. I know that I don't want to do that, but it can be kind of straining sometimes where they just complain. And my usual question, did you go to your coach? And the answer normally is, everybody guess? No. They want me to go out with my baseball bat and pound, 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 pound. Bad, bad, bad coach. You made this mama mad. All right? And adults should know how to handle their own problems. But many times we don't respond in an adult way. And so I have to ask God, Lord, just give me grace dealing with this situation. Help me to handle this in a right way that will not hurt people, but rather would be a blessing and a help. Help them to think and say, now what's the adult thing to do? I need to go talk to my coach. Rather than bleed to somebody over here to go be the bad. So I got Mr. Brainerd to go out there and chew you out. No, that's not what this is about. It's about being an adult. So many times we're juvenile in the way we handle our problems and our struggles and our strife because we're grace deficient. This passage of Scripture is one of the great callings of God to reach out and take a hold of His grace. Reach out and accept and receive the grace that He desires to minister to His children. Now again, the context is He's addressing conflicts within the local church. He's addressing the strife among none other than believers. How does He do that? He appeals to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to think tonight, as we consider some of these, we're not going to get very far, we're just going to touch, but I want to look at some of the reasons for strife within the community of the local church. And I don't think we have any major issues here. We all have our struggles and difficulties and things of that nature. And so God's Word needs to be ministered to our hearts. And a man who deals a lot with polling and talking to pastors says jealousy is a major problem within the church today. I've seen it on so many different levels. I've seen it in churches across America. So certainly we need to let God's Word speak to us. What are some of the reasons that are given to us? Well, he begins by saying, from whence come wars and fightings among you? A good translation of the word wars is feuds. How many of you have ever heard about the feud up in West Virginia between the Hatfields and the McCoys. I remember as a kid, we had a candy sale one year, and we had the Hatfields and the McCoys, and we had two of our teachers that were dressed up. And back then, you could come to school with a musket. I mean, it wasn't loaded. But I remember the two squads, the Hatfields versus the McCoys. And who was going to outdo the other? We had this feud going on. At one time, one of the teachers came in with his gun and fired the gun. Went across one of those pop cap things, you know. It was not real bullets. Don't go out of here and say, they were shooting guns up there at Grace Bible Church. No. It was all part of an act. And one of them popped up, came in from the side door over here, and they were having a war. I'm going to sell more candy than you. No, you're not. You're a McCoy. You don't even know what candy is. And they went back and forth with that. I thought it was the coolest thing. I went and checked out a book from the library on the Hatfields and the McCoys. Found out it was actually real, the things that went on. And it's kind of an interesting story. But sometimes churches can devolve to that. From whence come these feuds and fightings among you? Come they not even of your desires that war in your members? Now, one thing about it, folks, we still live in a sin body. Wouldn't it be nice to say we didn't? I was talking to someone, I guess it was Brother Nathan, said someone had spoken to him and said that they had conquered the flesh. Conquered the flesh, right, brother? Deactivated. Yeah. Their flesh had been deactivated. That was the word that they used. Now, we laugh. We laugh. But there are some that actually think that their flesh was deactivated the moment that they got saved and there's no more problem. But we find here in the Bible, first century, not long after the cross of Christ, there's squabbling and fighting and so forth going on. And when you read the Pauline epistles, what do you find in churches? Difficulties, problems, things that need to be solved. And James, the half-brother of Jesus, says the reason that these things happen is because of our flesh, that war within our members. He goes on and he says, ye lust and have not, ye kill. That's pretty strong language there. Oh, we're Grace Bible Church. We don't kill. We don't murder. But I wonder if we were to put up on the live screen our thoughts. Wouldn't that be a horrible thing? I'm so thankful that that's not the case. They said that Elon Musk is working on a brain machine that will put up on a screen what's going on in your mind. That's scary. That's scary. All right? Because I'm afraid it's just going to be blank. It'll look like a 1970s TV, like that, with the lines going across. That's going to be my brain. And I don't want anybody to know that. But you think about, the thoughts that we've had towards some people that you've had to deal with over and over and over again, and you just feel, I wish they were, fill in the blank. Yeah. Yeah. You kill and have not. Then he goes on to say, ye ask and receive not. Now, we shift gears here. Who did they ask? What's the inference here? God. You ask and you don't receive. That creates a problem for some people. I'm asking God and He's not giving it to me. And we find out why. Because you consume it. You ask amiss. You're missing the mark. Because you want to consume it upon your own desires. You got a wrong mind about it. And so God says, no, I'm not going to give that to you. Sometimes He lets you do it and get it, and you get all the consequences that come with it. It's an amazing thing, folks, the human heart, just how deceitful it is. But I'm so thankful that James doesn't just stop there identifying the problem of the flesh, identifying why we don't get answers to our prayer requests sometimes that we want to receive. We always get an answer, by the way. Sometimes it's no. One of the things that Brian and I talked about out there in the street this afternoon as I was talking with him, Mike's spirit and his soul are with the Lord right now. Would you not say that's an answer to prayer? We would much rather him be there than down here suffering in anguish. God answered prayer. He doesn't have cancer anymore. We weigh these things and realize something that James brings out, the half-brother of Jesus. And by the way, you talk about somebody that had to learn about the grace of God. It was James, the half-brother of Christ. All the contention early on about the whole issue of Gentiles coming to faith in Jesus Christ, that was a sticking point for James. But James came to understand the revelation of God concerning the Gentiles. Peter was able to help him to understand, God sent me a vision of a sheep coming down out of the sky, and he said, kill and eat of these animals. And Peter said, I'm not allowed to do that. I'm not allowed to eat those animals. Those animals, according to the law, are unclean. I will not. And what did God say to him? What did the Lord say unto him? What I have called clean, you don't call unclean. Major change. Major shift. And Peter shared that, no doubt, with James. And James morphed in his understanding. He came to understand something that he did not understand before. And you know what it was? Grace. The grace of God. God will save Gentiles too, not just Jews. God will deliver them from their sin. You see, for so many it was myopic. Only Israel. But they had to have their scope opened up. And James came to understand that, and he said, this is the answer. This is the answer, folks. Notice again, verse 5, do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud. And by the way, that word resist there means he turns all the guns of heaven, all the ammo of heaven against the proud. That's what that means. I was just over, Beth and I were over in Mobile the other day, a week or two ago, and we went by the USS Alabama, and the barrels of the gun faced toward I-10. It's kind of disconcerting. You wonder if there's some knucklehead that one day is going to fire one of those things off, one of those 16-inch guns from that particular South Dakota-class battle wagon. It was a force to be reckoned with back in World War II. That huge ship with all those guns that were used to kill. But I want you to notice something here. God turns His guns against the proud, but who does He give grace to? Say it loud, please. The humble. Who are the humble? The Bible says that we're to submit ourselves and to put ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. That's where we realize and know that I don't have enough smarts. I don't have enough power. I don't have the ability to deal with people on a daily basis by myself in my flesh. But the grace of God, administered to us, can help us deal with all the things that we have to deal with in this world. Isn't that wonderful? He giveth more grace. Now, there's common grace. Everybody understand that? God sends rain upon the wicked and upon the just. That's common grace. But he giveth more grace to those who humble themselves under his mighty hand. We're going to look at this further. But I want to encourage you tonight, as I've been encouraged from the Word of God. Grace deficiency is not God and his fault. Grace deficiency is when I spend all my time thinking about myself and allowing my desires to take precedent rather than God flooding my soul with his grace so that I can reach out and minister to others in a right attitude, in a right way, dealing with the situations that come in life. Right now, folks, you have no idea, and I have no idea what we're going to face for the rest of the year. Have you ever stopped to think about that? What may happen? We don't know what we are going to face. And I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer here. I'm not trying to make you walk out of here with your knuckles grabbing the ground. I want you to have your back straight, with your eyes looking up. Lord, give me more grace! So I can continue on. I don't know how much time I have. But you give me the grace that I can live today and tomorrow and the next day and whatever hours you may choose to grant to me, may it be ministered with grace to others. Because that's the only way I can be a blessing. And don't you want to be a blessing? Don't you want to be a blessing at home? Don't you want to be a blessing at church? Don't you want to be a blessing at school? Don't you want to be a blessing at work? Well, you don't know the people I work with. And they're at home saying, you don't know the person I have to work with, and they're referring to you? Yeah. Think about that for just a moment. We need more grace. We cannot live, Christians. Now listen to me. We cannot live effectively for Christ if we're grace deficient. It will decline from there into fleshly attitudes, fleshly commentary, fleshly desires, infighting and bickering and feuding. That's where it ends up. In the church. That's where it can end up. That's not what we desire, is it? We want Christ to be magnified in our decisions, in our conversations, His name lifted up, and other believers lifted up and encouraged by our lives. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your word. James touches on something that is so needful in our hearts and lives. I pray, Father, that you would strengthen us tonight with your word. We pray that the Holy Spirit will take these truths and drive them into our hearts. It's so easy to alienate ourselves from your grace. We can talk a lot about it, but if we're not accessing it, we have a far different outcome. May we not be grace deficient. May we allow you to work in such a powerful way that our hearts and lives become a blessing to others. And we seek the welfare of others. We're not seeking our own welfare over others. Lord, I pray that you would work tonight in our hearts and lives in a very powerful way, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.